Cocktail as we talk about life and death.
Everything in between.
And beyond.
Join us for a little boozy banter with friends.
Talk.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
Welcome back.
Yes.
It's been a hot minute, right?
I mean, it feels like it has.
Yeah, it's actually been like 2.5 months, but we're not going to dwell on that. Has it been 2.5 months? It feels like it. I think it
You know
has
my
been.
Favorite part about our podcast?
What?
It's only We do what we want.
It's really only been like a month.
We do what we fucking want.
You're right. We do. Anyway.
We are back and welcome to Boozy Banter with Friends 2024. New season.
I know. It's our fifth season.
I'm excited.
Our third year.
Congratulations, Trisha.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. You know, I will say that I still love doing this.
I do too.
As much as when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we do take breaks, obviously, it still does not mean for me that this isn't a priority. It just means that we get busy and we do what we want. And this is still a priority for us.
Right.
I agree.
So we're back with brand new cocktails this year.
We are. We're still mixing new cocktails with our old favorite distillery.
Absolutely. But they have new stuff too.
They do.
So during our break, Layla ran up to St. Augustine.
It was just a day trip.
Just a day trip, but
took
got
the big doggo. You could see him on our post teaser.
Our Instagram.
He was at City Gate.
Yes.
They welcomed him with open arms.
He did very good.
He's a good boy.
And you got your hands on some of their cookie dough whiskey.
I did.
It's good.
It is good.
Yeah. It tastes like cookie dough.
And we saw some of our favorite people there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But so we're having the snickerdoodle.
We are. And it was an easy recipe, too.
Super easy.
Yeah. The drink will be up on our Instagram.
Yeah.
The only thing that we highly recommend,
yes,
is we preferred a creamier drink. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded mm-hmm. me of a White Russian, almost.
It did. It was like when we made the initial recipe, it just seemed like it was missing something.
Right. It calls for coffee and milk.
Yes.
And I think it would be much, much better with heavy cream.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to give it the body that it needs. It just needed something. It was just missing a little something extra. And I think it was the heavy cream.
Yeah.
I agree. I would say go a little heavier cream because mm-hmm. it's going to give you the more of the fuller body cocktail feel that I think it deserves. However, if you're going light, mm-hmm. you know, go with any type of milk you want.
Right.
Oat milk, coconut milk.
Yeah.
All the milks.
I think any cocktail we come up with this cookie dough whiskey is going to be really good.
Well, we've tried a few. We did experiment
mm-hmm.
and look to see the results of our experiments. All of them were actually really good.
They were. We had fun with that one.
We really did.
So
anyhow, good.
Anything been up with you lately?
No. Good holiday, good December, good January. Yeah, just kind of, you know, working and get back on track. I mean, I literally have no complaints, which for me is pretty good.
Yeah. No, I've been talking about it quite a bit. My youngest daughter is getting married.
I'm so excited.
At the end of the year.
God, and I'm excited.
So we are planning that. That's been something else. So
I cannot wait.
We've narrowed it down to 3 venues.
Which is not terrible.
Yeah, she's quite picky. So, but I have no info on this, no backstory, but I was looking at cruises the other day because I'm like, I just want a break. You know, I just want to go away and just not think about all of that. She's got spring break coming up in March. Right. So I'm like, well, maybe we'll take a cruise or whatever. And so I was looking at cruises and the story popped up and I didn't read the whole thing, but I was wondering if you had heard anything about it. It's the world's longest cruise. It's like 247 days.
Shut the front door.
That has all these, like, it's all these TikTokers are on this cruise documenting, you know, what's going on.
That's and almost a year.
Yeah. And it's been the stories coming out, like people are following this like it's like a daily soap opera. Like people's marriages are falling apart. There's a shit ton of swinging going on.
Well, like, no doubt.
You haven't heard about this at
no.
all? No. I haven't either. Now I need to Google it.
I would see when you first said something about 240 days, I'm like, what is it filled with old retirees?
What that's
like
what
old
I
people?
Because no.
to me, that would make sense that something like that would fill up with old people that they're like, oh, this is so much cheaper than going into assistant care or a nursing home.
Yeah, no, these are like young people who are working
the
from home.
Problem.
I typed in longest cruise drama. So let's see what pops up. Oh, of course. So the first article that pops up is the Daily Mail, because, you know, that's probably where I saw it
that's
to begin
probably
with.
How you saw it was the Daily Mail. I'm not surprised.
But look at the YouTube hits. Cruise news, world cruise drama, new TikTok world cruise drama, all the drama on board the 9-month cruise going viral. So there's all kinds of marital issues, swingers, people arguing over their cabins, and like the prices weren't cheap. Like the prices started at I think it was like $60,000 a person.
Holy shit.
That's
a lot of money. But I guess if you think about it, for 9 months, your food, your alcohol.
I guess.
Your lodging.
That still seems like a lot of money. But the people are getting, these marriages are like having issues because they're realizing that day in and day out in a very small area with your spouse is...
I chose him poorly.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I would like to see... hear what other people are saying about it, because I don't feel like going down the TikTok rabbit hole. So if anybody has any information, like if anybody's following this drama, can you let me know? Because I don't want to get sucked in.
Give her the abridged version.
Know the details.
Just the cliff notes, actually. That's all she wants is the cliff notes. Give her the cliff notes.
But I need to know more. I mean, we've laughed and joked about the villages here in Florida and their swinging situation. Can you imagine on a cruise ship?
I was just on TikTok yesterday or the day before, and a village's TikTok popped up.
Oh, no.
We're from the villages. Of course I have a pink loofah on my car. We live in the villages. Of course I go to bed at 7, just not alone. I'm like, it's these people that are not old, Trisha. They're slightly older than we are.
It sounds so old when you say the villages, like a retirement
they
community.
They did not look old.
It's 55 and up. Like, they're not old.
No, they did not. They were like, when I say they were slightly older than we are, they were slightly older than we are.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm pretty open-minded. I don't think that I'm that open-minded.
Yeah.
Which makes me question, how open-minded am I?
Right.
Because I like to think that, oh, no, I'm very open-minded.
Okay, would you feel like if you heard this was going on a college campus, would you feel the same way, or would you be like, oh, well, that's just college kids?
College kids.
Yeah. But I guess when they're like a retirement community, you're like, you guys should have better sense than that. Do you know what kind of diseases are out there? Come on.
Yes. I think that's it. Like the time to do that. Oh, well, I don't know. The time to do that experimenting was college.
I guess, but
like, by the time you're like 50 or 55, you should have found the one that you want to experiment with.
But
exclusively.
Well, clearly they have found the one they
exclusively.
And now they're like, well, now we want to have other people experiment with us. Maybe it's a confidence thing. Like they're like old enough where they're just like,
I don't give two fucks.
Yeah. Or just because the age starts at 55. You know, we're talking 55 and up. So some of these people could have been married like 30, 40 years. Maybe their spouse passed away and they've never been with other people. And they're like, I want to get out and live my life before I die.
I can see that.
So, I mean, you can't really fault them for like maybe having lived the perfect life, you know, by society's standards of, you know, I got married, raised my kids, worked for 30 years selling insurance, and now I'm ready to have the life I didn't get to have in college. On that same note, you know, talking about people that don't look like that would be the type of thing they did.
Right.
Did in the same storyline.
Wait,
I read this article. I don't remember what university it was. It was somewhere like Wisconsin or Minnesota. It was one of those up north, you know. But the chancellor of the university got probation or if he was he got in big trouble because it came out. It came out that him and his wife have like a very popular, I don't know if it's on OnlyFans or one of those sites, but they have a very popular channel where they cook vegan food and they invite porn stars to cook vegan food with them and they do recipes and then they all sleep together. Not with the food, I don't think.
Oh,
but
there are fetishes for that, by the way.
I'm sure there are. But the thing was that bothered me about the whole thing. I don't know how we got on old people and porn, but
in the villages.
But this guy, I mean, now I don't know how old he is. To me, he looks like he's maybe late 60s, early 70s. Okay. Like he's a very tall gentleman, gray hair. Looks, when you see him in like his academic photo, he looks like an academic.
Like he looks like the classic scholarly type.
He should be wearing a sweater.
I stole that from Diane. Scholarly.
A scholarly type.
I stole that from Diane.
But then when you see him, like in the pictures that they took of him they were like still shots of the, you know, where he's like cooking with his wife. His wife looks like totally normal. She's like just she's got that, you know, middle-aged bob with the bangs and just, you know, slightly squishy in the middle, like everybody gets.
Like a normal woman.
Right. They look to be about mid to upper 60s, lower 70s. But they're living their life. You know what? Nobody even knew he was doing it until somebody ratted him out. He never promoted it. He never told anybody, never mentioned he worked for the university on his channel. Nobody knew till somebody saw it. Somebody probably watching vegan porn and then reported him.
Vegan porn.
Well, I don't know what else to call it.
I mean, it's a bunch of fucking woke college students anyway, so of course they would search vegan porn.
And so I was kind of appalled that they decided to, like, I don't know, like I said, I don't remember if they fired him or if they just like made him step back or whatever. But it's like, who? It's none of your business. Are you watching the vegan porn? Because if you're not, you know, then shut up and move on. Because he never did, you know, like that was the thing. He didn't ever say like, oh, I'm the chancellor of this university. Right. Nobody knew.
Until somebody watched it. Woke college kid searched vegan porn.
And
then he was like, oh my God, I know that guy.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
But you know what? On the flip side of that, good for them for still having like an active,
exactly, healthy, and that's what he's like, you know,
sex life.
We enjoy
at that age.
Yeah, we enjoy our sex life. We enjoy cooking, and
we enjoy watching porn. Let's combine all three. We enjoy being vegan too, so let's combine all four.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you do you, but the fact that they. Whatever they did with him, but, you know, encroached on his life. So I'm like, you condone so much bullshit from your college students. But as soon as like somebody, you know,
is body positive.
Yeah.
Then age positive, sex positive.
Nope. Nope. That's not allowed. You're too old for that. You're too old. You can't do that's what
even if you throw veganism in there, you're still canceled.
I mean, that's just what it felt like to me. It was like, it's okay to do that if you're in your 20s, but it's not okay to do it if you're in your.
But that's funny that you say that, because we were just talking about The Villages and how we thought it was kind of weird.
Kind of weird. So
that's funny how our perceptions twist to, right, how dare they dictate what this guy does,
right?
But then, oh, there's a whole community of people that do that. Well, that kind of, that weirds me out a little.
It weirds me out. I am not into his vegan porn, but I feel like he should be able to do what he wants to do. And it's the same thing at The Villages. Like,
oh, good for them.
Good for them for still getting out there. Do I think it's weird, and would I do
absolutely
it?
Absolutely no.
Absolutely and no. But, you know.
All right, I got a story for you.
Okay, tell me about it.
Cause this is actually one that you recommended.
Oh.
This was a rabbit hole. Oh,
okay. I thought you were already starting.
No, this is a rabbit hole. This is long.
Oh.
I was like, oh my fucking God, this is not a short story at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is the, you said, have you ever heard of the cult of the conscious development of body, mind, and soul?
That's a, I asked you about that because it's a really long name. Like, normally, I can't remember all that. I must have wrote it down. Did I text it to you?
You did. And of course, when do cults not start with a charismatic leader?
Right.
Never. So her name is Terry Lee Hoffman. She was born March 21st in 1938 in Fort Stockton, Texas.
And she's a leader?
She.
Oh.
She.
Okay.
Is the leader.
Wow.
She was born into a poor family that had several issues, but Terry always known she was different and special. Mm. Mm. One day when she was 4 years old.
What?
Four.
No.
Oh, it starts there. You know it's going to be a good story when someone's like, back when I was four.
Is she telling this about herself or other people, like when she was 4 years old?
I think she said that.
Oh, okay.
She claims this. Mm. So when she was 4 years old, she claims to have had her first vision at 4 years old.
Okay.
You know, this is going to be a doozy. She said three men in splendid robes appeared to her and told her she can do anything and be anything she wanted if she wanted it badly enough.
Hmm.
At 4 years old.
Okay.
They went on to say that if she was troubled, she should think of God. They also warned her that they could not be seen by any other people. Only her.
Mm-hmm.
At 4 years old.
Was this a church-going family? Did they like...
They were poor. It doesn't really say. There's not really much about her family.
Mm.
But she did go on to say that this vision would become the cornerstone of her mystic doctrines.
Okay.
Affecting the lives and perhaps causing the deaths of many of her most devoted followers. At 9 years old, she entered the Lutheran orphanage in Round Rock. At the orphanage, they taught her to pray, and she had another vision. She remembers a Lutheran nun, a German woman, who told her about the elements, earth, wind, fire, water, and ether. About the Ascotic records that only existed in the spiritual realm.
Oh.
Yes, this is what happens when she joined this Lutheran orphanage and had a vision of this Lutheran nun.
She joined it. Or was she sent
there? Okay, she was probably sent there at 9 years old. I think that's just semantics. She was told that she would reach this realm through meditation. And they would show her the past, present, and future laid out like a farmland through an airplane window. This nun also taught her about reincarnation. So Terry spent 2 years in the orphanage that she joined or was put there. It's still debatable. During this time, she became convinced she became convinced that she was the reincarnation of St. Teresa of Avila, one of the Roman Catholic Church's most famous mystics. When she was 11, I just want to reiterate that, she was adopted by a Dallas couple who had lost their first daughter due to tuberculosis. She then became Terry Lee Benson. When she was in middle school, she met a young truck driver named John Wilder. He was a high school dropout and only made like 85 cents an hour. This was back in like the 50s, like mid-50s. Terry's adoptive mother did not approve of John, but Terry was determined to be with him. So on May 2nd of 1954, she married John in Durant, Oklahoma, which was the closest place to Dallas that one could get married at 15 years old. So just a short 18 months later, they had a son named Kenneth. And a few years later after that, she had a daughter named Virginia. During this supposedly happy time in her life, she busied herself with raising the kids and gardening. So she tried to be like that perfect housewife.
Right.
However, of course, Terry, since she had all these visions when she was younger, she wanted more. And in 1954, she started meeting with a group of people that shared the same interests in meditation and talking about metaphysics, the origin and structure of the universe, and the nature of truth and the meaning of existence. I mean, it's kind of not surprising given that she was thought that she was the reincarnation of this famous Catholic mystic. So it's not out of the ordinary that she would kind of like find similar-minded people. And as the time grew on, Terry became more and more obsessed with the occult. She was very drawn to the writings of the Christian mystic Edgar Cayce and the self-help groups like Silva Mind Control. She took classes in hypnosis, and she later started to offer weekly evening meditation classes with the bored, wealthy ladies from the Brookhaven Country Club. She's starting to escalate.
Well, so far, it just sounds like she's getting into like I feel like her next step would be yoga.
Oh. That's so controversial, Trisha. Okay, I'm going to move on with my story now. Well,
I mean, if she's offering all of these relaxation, like the next step is yoga. These bored housewives are
These bored
about
housewives
to do yoga.
Need yoga. With her charming personality and great intuition, her fame spread rather quickly into a booming yoga practice. No, I just added that in there. That's not in my story. I just couldn't help myself. She claimed she could see the past and the future. She could also travel outside her body, communicate with the dead, and protect her followers from anything from auto accidents to cancer.
Oh, no.
Yes, she did claim that. During meetings, Terry would lead her group of students to a higher plateau of spiritual development, where they could find the temples of the world's spiritual masters.
Oh.
Yes, she's the shit. She would also instruct them on the ascotic records. You know, the records that she told the students gave her the knowledge of the past and future lives, including their love lives.
Oh, that's really why they were all going
that's
to see
really
her.
What, yeah. Yeah. Everyone wants to know about their love life. She would also be able to look into these records to see if her students have found their soulmates yet.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
I can't believe people fall for this shit. Anyways. Her then husband at the time, John Wilder, didn't believe anything Terry was doing. And this led to the divorce. He thought she was full of shit.
Okay.
Not shocking. By the late 60s, Terry had officially slated the group called Conscious Development of Body, Mind, and Soul. She began accepting love offerings for her lessons and private consultations ranging anywhere from $50 to $100.
Wow, that's expensive for the
60s. In the 60s.
Yeah.
A very short time after her divorce from Terry, she was 33 at the time, she married a 20-year-old student named Glenn Cooley. 13-year age difference.
Okay, so let's see. She got married in 1954, mm-hmm. and then she divorced in 1968.
1960s, yeah.
So she was like 19 when she got married.
Yeah, she was okay. Very... Well, no, she was 15, because remember, they traveled to Oklahoma.
Right. Okay.
So she was still young. She was 33, mm-hmm. but she hooked up with this one of her students at 20 years old. They began focusing.
Wait a minute. No, can't be 20. Or he's 20.
He was 20. Oh. She was 33. He was 20.
Crap. Okay.
Yeah, 13 years. That's not too terrible.
No. I
mean, not bad. Right? They began focusing on revising and expanding the conscious development literature, including a jewelry business. Of course, Terry encouraged her followers to buy this homemade jewelry that when once charged properly by Terry would give them protection and, of course, healing energy.
Mm.
So, hey, buy this jewelry that's charged by me. It will give you protection. The more expensive the item, the more power it contained. But of course it did.
Of course.
Of course. Just like all good cult leaders. Soon, however, even her young husband wanted out of this business. Terry filed for divorce again. And was granted an amicable divorce in 1977.
Wow.
So it wasn't very long. Unfortunately, 6 days after their divorce was final, he was found in Glenn's parents' cabin from a drug overdose.
Oh. Isn't
that weird?
Huh.
But okay. What's even weirder is that the very next day, Terry found a note in her safe from her very recently deceased husband, Glenn, saying, I, Glenn Cooley, give Terry Cooley all of my property, both personal and real. This includes two boats, a 1972 Buick Limited, all jewelry and equipment for its making, all furnishings for the house on Dunhaven Road, which Glenn had given Terry the title to the house 2 weeks earlier, and all cash. I ask that this, my last will and testament, not be contested by anyone in any way for any reason. Last but not least, I give all my love to all of my family and friends. As explanation for all this, I really can't say what it is because of, but I can say what it is not because of. It is not because of the divorce with Terry, past drug experiences, inability to cope, etc. What it is, I myself know, but don't have the words for.
Okay.
That's kind of a weird cryptic note, don't you think?
Yeah. He had a lot for somebody that was only maybe 30.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that their metaphysical cult business is like really starting to boom. So because they did expand, rewrite, and then start that jewelry business. So
right.
I feel like it started. And of course, you know, if you buy more expensive jewelry,
right,
it contains more power. So after Glenn's death, Terry started to claim that there were power metaphysical forces working against them, which she referred to as the Black Lords.
Oh.
She started practicing bloodletting, believing that the Black Lords had the power to poison the blood, which, as you can imagine, caused a few members to leave the group.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of the more devoted members stayed and embraced this new practice as the paranoia it brought and the paranoia it brought. One of her most devoted members was Sandy Cleaver. She was the secretary treasurer in the Incorporated Conscious Development Group. Sandy's devotion to the group caused a lot of trouble with her ex-husband, especially when it came to their daughter, Devereaux. Sandy's ex-husband, Chuck, didn't want their daughter anywhere near the group and their teachings. No fucking shit. When Devereaux was 14, she became embarrassed by her mom's devotion to the group and began to pull away from her mother. She's fucking 14. She's like, Mom, you're a fucking whack. I don't fucking want any part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So Sandy thought that the evil spirits in Devereaux were trying to infect her energies and she was being taken over.
Come on. Oh my gosh.
Fucking whack job. With their relationship seriously strained, Sandy invited Devereaux to Hawaii with her fiance. I guess Sandy found somebody that she could marry.
Hmm.
And there she was, a whack job.
Probably part of the cult.
Probably. And on February 25th of 1979, Sandy and Devereaux waded out on an inflatable raft into a lagoon that was mostly calm and shallow. However, about 400 yards out, when the waves crashed on a coral reef, causing them to be knocked off a raft, Sandy was rescued by the fire department after her fiancé heard screamings from Devereaux. Unfortunately, Devereaux was found several hours later dead. What's weird is that Chuck's dad received a call from one of Terry's followers while he was on his way to the hospital in Hawaii. The follower wanted to let Chuck know that they found a document stating that Devereaux left a will.
What?
At 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
Stating who was to get the rock, her rock and baseball collection, as well as her $125,000 trust fund. The will stated, at 14, I give, devise, and bequeath all of my property, including all rights, titles, and interest of whatever character I may own in and to any property, real, personal, or mixed, wherever situated, to Terry, who has been to me like a second mother.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds super fishy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
However, due to her age, the will was not binding. After the death of Devereaux, Sandy called off the wedding and isolated herself from friends and family. She also gave all of her worldly possessions to Terry, including her house, artwork, and silver, even a $300,000 life insurance policy she had recently taken out. Sandy's 78-year-old housekeeper also made a will that same day, naming Sandy as an executioner of her estate with Terry as a backup executioner. Not shocking. While on their way to see land purchased by the Conscious Development Group in Colorado, the car that Sandy and Luis were in was found at the base of a 450-foot cliff. Both women, of course, died in the crash and was considered suspicious. And there was no, because there were no tire marks or witnesses to the crash, the cause of the death was undetermined. What was also suspicious was that Terry showed up 2 days after the crash to claim the bodies and was quickly awarded their $300,000 life insurance policy.
Oh, good grief.
Terry wouldn't get away with all of Sandy's property, however. Her brother contested the will, giving cause that the Conscious Development Group had a reputation for absorbing material wealth from its dead members.
Yeah,
that's kind of a thing. Terry also agreed to settle the case after 5 days, agreeing to pay Sandra's brother $112,000 and 40% of the proceeds from the sale of Sandra's estate. All was calm within the cult members for another 6 years when a member of the group committed suicide. And again, guess what? Left all of her belongings to Terry.
Of course.
Robin Ostedt began exhibiting very strange behaviors to the point where she believed that her non-physical body's astral, mental, and physical had begun to attack herself and others. Members of the cult began to blame Robin, which caused her to sink into depression and isolation from herself and everyone. On April 27th of 1987, Robin went to a doctor's appointment where she had blood work done, allegedly visited Terry later in the day, went home and shot herself later that night. Again, Robin left all of her possessions to Terry.
Of course.
And guess what? There was also a suicide note found.
Oh, good grief.
Are you wanting to know what it said?
Yeah. It probably sounds very similar to the others, huh?
I'm apologizing to Terry 3,000 times a week on all levels of my being for the highly offensive, rude, and vulgar comments made to her last week. I love her dearly and beg her forgiveness one day.
What?
I guess that is part of the attack that she believed was from her non-physical bodies, astral, mental, and physical. Despite all that was going on with its members, the cult was still growing, just not so much in Dallas anymore. Instead, the popularity became so big in Chicago that they were not going to be incorporated into Illinois. One of its newest members was Mary Levinson. She was a talented artist, an animal lover who came from a family who owned a chain of clothing stores in Indiana. Unfortunately, Mary had severe anxiety and attempted suicide many times. Mary became deeply interested in the Conscious Development Group and Terry, so much so that she would have weekly phone consultations. Mary wouldn't have let her own mother in the apartment during these phone calls because of their super secret content. Super secret. You can't be in here. Super secret. Guess what? I think you know by that. She was found dead in her hotel room from an overdose on sleeping medication. She left a video for her family saying that she cashed in her $125,000 divorce settlement to pay off minor debts and make donations to animal welfare societies. She also said in the video, I also donated money to institutions, charitable institutions, which I will not name. I don't want any hassle, any trace, any way for you to try and retrieve that money that has been given out of love to them, to people that really need it. That was my money to do with what I pleased, and that was what I chose to do. I want you to understand that I am fully rational and I have come to this decision after a long time of thinking. I am actually looking forward to it. I am in a great deal of physical pain and emotional pain and have been for about 6 months now. Obviously, with my past work with animals, I believe in euthanasia for those who are suffering horribly. That just sounds like someone's getting smarter with their notes, doesn't it?
Exactly. How has nobody caught on by now? We're up to what?
This is like caught on.
Fourth or fifth person to leave a suicide note or
and
a
they're
will.
Like giving all of their shit to Terry.
Yeah.
So that same year, Charles Southern, who was affiliated with the Conscious Development cult, disappeared. He, of course, left a note, leaving Terry as the executioner of his estate. Another Conscious Development member that died by overdose was Don Hoffman. He believed he was dying of cancer. He took his own life and left his entire estate to...
Oh, Terry.
You guessed it. It was discovered during the autopsy that Don did not have cancer at all.
Oh, my gosh.
Who led him to believe that he had cancer?
Yeah. Wow.
Don's children actually sued Terry for wrongful death, saying that Terry used hypnosis to convince him that his father convinced his father to kill himself. The death didn't stop with him, though. Jill Bounds, who was a member of the Conscious Development, was found beaten to death in her own bed. The attacker ripped out pages of Jill's journal and appeared to have cleaned up in the bathroom before leaving her apartment. Her murder is still unsolved. But guess what? There's still more.
Oh, wow.
So next we have David and Glenda Goodman, and they're committed suicide. After a failed marriage, David began counseling sessions with, of course, Terry.
Oh, no.
So in 1984, David met his soulmate, Glenda.
Oh.
They're both, who was also a divorced mother and a devoted member of the Conscious Development Group. They seemed to have a wonderful and strong relationship where their family would call them inseparable.
Oh.
So obviously they fell in love. They found their soulmates as Terry guided people to their soulmates. After their involvement in the cult intensified, so did the withdrawal from their family, as classic cult shit does.
Mm-hmm.
David and Glenda began going on these fantastic spiritual journeys, battling the evil black lords. And because of this, they said they were experiencing karmic poisoning and being affected with negative energies. A note for Glenda was found in the trash saying that she was deeply depressed and would love to have the nerve to kill herself, but she couldn't. In January of 1990, David and Glenda were found shot to death. They had been dead for over a month, and authorities ruled it as a double suicide. After the suicide of Glenda and David, an investigation into the many deaths of Terry Hoffman's followers and her influence that may have led to their deaths. Unfortunately, nothing was found that could lead to a conviction.
Mm.
However, many family members of the former cult members pursued civil lawsuits against Terry, accusing her of using mind control and hypnosis to seize the assets of her followers and somehow cause them to suffer from fatal accidents or commit suicide. I mean, that's a shit ton of people that ended up either having an accident or committing suicide.
Yeah, that's
within
crazy.
Her cult.
Right.
So in 1991, Terry filed for bankruptcy, which squashed all of the civil lawsuits, of course. But in 1994, Terry was convicted on 10 counts of fraud, where she could face up to 50 years in jail. Terry appealed this conviction in May of 1995, and unfortunately, the conviction was reversed, and she was acquitted. However, on October 31st of 2015, Terry Hoffman died.
Natural causes?
Yes.
Ugh. That was like 10 years. I mean, 2015? 1995 was when she was... It was reversed, like, or she filed bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So 20 more years, she just got to live her life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's like classic cult shit. But like, she was extremely manipulative. And all these people, like, just signed over all their possessions.
That's crazy.
And then mysteriously either committed suicide or had these accidents.
Yeah.
Another cult story. And there's a lot more. That's just like I said, that's just the abridged version with all of like the deaths. There's so much more that went into this cult.
Right.
By this woman, which normally you hear of guys being cult leaders. Yeah. You don't really hear too many female cult leaders.
Right.
So that was kind of an interesting little twist.
Yeah.
How she branched out from Texas into Illinois and...
Wow.
So, I mean, I would say that's a pretty successful cult. If you start one and then move to a completely different state, that's pretty successful.
Yeah, that's insane.
I know. Cults.
Yeah.
I know we're fascinated by cults, but how did people fall for this shit?
I don't know. And the fact that she just got away with it for so long.
And the suicide notes. Mm-hmm. But if you read, like, each suicide note became smarter and smarter. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to contest this. I'm not going to tell you where I'm sending my money to.
Right.
What charitable donation that I'm giving my organization I'm giving my money to, because I don't want you to contest it. Come on, we all know you're fucking giving it to Terry.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you're giving it to Terry.
Wow.
But that's fucking crazy.
Crazy.
A charismatic cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
Get you every time.
Yeah, that was good.
Don't join cults.
Yeah. I mean, if it sounds like a cult and acts like a cult, it's probably a cult.
It's probably a cult.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, it's not worth it.
That's insane.
I know.
It's insane.
I know.
So
that's that story.
Well, good one. Good.
That's a good old cult story.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Until next time. Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, like what you hear? Leave us a review on your favorite podcast listening platform.
For more about this episode, check out our website at boozybanterwithfriends.com or connect with us on Instagram.
Thanks for listening.
Later.